Okay, so before we launch into Home Alone itself, I want to start talking about family movies and how they've developed. I remember visiting video stores when I was young. There was a section called Family, and it was all these sorts of movies with, you know, children and families and things like that. And we start to see a lot more now, sort of these franchise films, stuff with a lot of fantasy in it, a lot of CGI, a lot of Pixar style. Has the family movie itself changed over time, do you think?
Well, I think two things have happened here. And the first is the advancement in CGI technology. If you look at kids' books, where a lot of films, kids' films and family films come from, you'll notice that they're quite fantasy-oriented. There's magic in them and stuff like that. And in the past, that was kind of hard to replicate visually. But now with the advancements in CGI, they're able to do anything, basically anything. So whatever your imagination carries you in a kid's book, they can replicate in a film. The second thing was Harry Potter. Mm. And I think before Harry Potter, sort of the kids sort of area, the family area was in a bit of a funk. The studios and everyone were looking more at adult fare and the prestige that comes with adult fare, and nobody saw the value in family stuff. But since Harry Potter and the billions of dollars that franchise has made in both books and film, now you've got a whole series of, you know, a whole bunch of new series like His Dark Materials coming out, and many, many other films and TV series that are being produced because people now see the value in that. But it's mostly led, I have to say, it's mostly led by money.
Home Alone was directed by John Hughes, and he made some other family films, as we mentioned. Do you want to just tell us a bit about his sort of catalogue up to Home Alone and how Home Alone sort of fits in the movies that he was making at the time?
Well, Home Alone's quite an interesting sort of film because if you look at the films of John Hughes before that, films like Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, Some Kind of Wonderful, they weren't family films. They were teen films, looking at teenagers by teenagers. But the thing with Home Alone is, it was very much a family-oriented film. That was the whole idea, and a Christmas film. And they're two things that Hughes really hadn't done before. And you can see with Hughes, his previous films didn't have a lot of action. Like if you look at Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink, they're basically gab-fest. They're dialogue-driven pieces of film. Whereas Home Alone is very much action-oriented. So it was a big shift for him in that way as well.
You write about in your article the violence that occurs throughout Home Alone, and we're all familiar with these scenes of bandits getting smashed in the face with paint cans and stepping on nails and things like that. But how does John Hughes's knowledge of sort of film history inspire some of the writing and some of the violence, that slapstick humour that we see in the film?
Well, obviously, there's massive homage to people like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin in this film. And I'd even say maybe even the Looney Tune cartoons. Mm. Because if you look at Looney Tune, there's a lot of that comic violence that's in those sorts of things. But the big difference, though, with Hughes is he took cartoon violence and actually put it in a live-action film. And I think that, in a way, that makes the violence real because it's not cartoon anymore. It's actual real violence. And the interesting thing about Home Alone is, like, the first, I think, two-thirds of the film is quite schmaltzy and quite nostalgic and sentimental with, you know, cutesy little Kevin who's left at home alone and him basically becoming the man of the house by pretending to be an adult. But then there's this, like, 20-minute segment in the third act where Kevin just goes all Tarantino on these burglars with really sort of nasty, torturous violence in there. And that's the thing is, like, Hughes has taken that cartoon violence that you see, but he's put it into a live-action situation, and that really changes the context of the violence because when you look at it, you kind of think, where's he coming up with these ideas? What's the psychology of the kid to think about these things? What does that say about his personality? Is he able to go through this sort of stuff? And then after the torture scenes, it goes back to being all schmaltzy again. So it just really seems really anomalous. But I think the problem is, without the burglars trying to break in that scene, what's really the film about? Just Kevin pretending to be an adult while his parents are away and his mum trying to get back to him. There's no drama there. There's nothing else there that gives audiences a bit of a thrill, I guess.
Do you see any other issues with that level of violence in a movie that's directed to such a young audience?
when you have a set a tone for a film, and that is, you know, the tone for this film is feel good, light comedy, family, and then suddenly you change the tone of the film for 20 minutes into pretty much savage sort of violence. And I mean, I think this goes beyond cartoon violence. I mean, the nail going through the foot, all paint cans and stuff, that's sort of real violence, not really cartoon violence. Any kid could do that sort of stuff. I was just reading the other day that Home Alone is the most popular Christmas movie in Australia. It's 30 years old, and people are still showing this film to their children, I'd say their grandchildren now. But I often wonder how the kids interpret that level of violence itself.
I guess, despite that anomalous period in the third act, is the violence, like, is the absurdity one of the things that made it so successful? What's allowed that to happen for Home Alone to be so successful?
I think there's a combination of factors here. I think the first is Macaulay Culkin. He is such a great actor. A little, you know, that little kid, he's only 10 years old when he's in that film. But he carries the whole film. He's in every scene, if not almost every shot of the film. And so he carries all the other characters are sort of extraneous. You don't really get to know much about them. It's really an exploration of Kevin's adventures. And for Culkin to carry the film like that, you know, there was lightning in a bottle for John Hughes to find such a talented young actor. And because the weight of the film is on him, but he does such a great job. He has great comic timing. He's, you know, he has a lot of pathos when in the sad moments. He's able to, you know, put on the emotion when he needs to. He can deliver the lines really well. And because everything's centered so much on him, if you didn't have such a great actor, the film would have failed. But he just does such a great job. And I think he's sort of the number one element of the success of the film. The second part is, of course, it's a nostalgic, schmaltzy sort of film, and people love that at Christmas time.
Fantastic. Well, I'm looking forward to some Christmas viewing in the next few days. What's your favourite Christmas movie?
Well, funnily enough, it's Die Hard, which is voted the number one most popular American Christmas film, but it's not Christmas to me unless I see Hans Gruber fall from the top of Nakatomi Plaza. I'm sorry.
another great film moment. All right, Daryl, thank you so much for joining me in deconstructing Home Alone today.
No worries, Stefan. Have a Merry Christmas, everybody.